SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Early Line is live on a Wednesday morning. This is hour number two of Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. Major League Baseball yesterday provided a number of headlines. We may only have enough time, though, to get to one game because of how much it offered up, and that was the game between the Los Angeles Angels and the Tampa Bay Rays. The prime story, the main story here, and yes, there's multiple stories. Reed Detmers, the rookie for the LA Angels, throws a no-hitter. Only one walk. How about this, though, man? If you're out there with this guy's strikeout prop, he gave you two. That's an ugly scene there, man. But how about a no-hitter DRS from Detmers yesterday against Tampa Bay?
Yeah, Glay, he's in the city of Los Angeles, so at least we're happy that he played for the Angels and got a chance to throw the no-hitter, because a team roughly north, just north there in Los Angeles called the Dodgers, probably to put that hook on about the seventh or eighth inning, saying we need you for August or September. So at least he got to throw the 108 pitches to complete that, and it was a blowout victory. So it wasn't, we'll save you for next game. We already won this year. But that was an unbelievable performance. One, I didn't see it coming, because if you asked me yesterday, Donnie, give me one team total that makes a little bit of sense here on a Tuesday night, I told you it was the Tampa Bay Rays. And the fact of the matter is that not only did they not score, which is ridiculous, they didn't get a single hit. And in a game where a left-handed pitcher can't get right-handed batters out, and you're stacking right-handed batters to get smoked 12-0, that was a tough look. So old man Donnie, who goes to bed fairly early, these are the games where I'm not sitting up in the fifth or sixth inning at around midnight going, what am I watching here? At least I rolled over, checked my phone, I'm like, woohoo, that's a miss.
But you mean to tell me of 27 outs, 25 of them were put in play and
that's
nobody
amazing.
Got a hit?
Yeah.
That's outrageous. That is outrageous there from the Los Angeles Angels. I mean, man, let me say this, though, right? And credit to Detmers there. My question, though, is with a rookie pitcher like him, Donnie, do you almost have to be like, all right, I can't touch this guy for 2 months, 3 months here? Because he was really bad to start the season. That's how you come to the conclusion on a team total. Now it's like, man, what if the Angels have a future ace considering he's a rookie and just threw a no-hitter?
Yeah, exactly. Or like Dave Roberts of the Dodgers, which will continue to poke fun of, probably would have pulled him after five, saying, hey, kid, we got the 8-0 lead. Let's leave you on a good note here, even though you're throwing a no-no out here at this point. It's fun to see history, and sometimes even if Detmers doesn't turn out to be anything in Major League Baseball, you know what he can remember? I actually threw a no-hitter in 2022. Here's the tape. Here's the ball. What a night it was for me, as opposed to, boy, I had it going in the seventh inning. And in the post-game presser, I have to stick up for my manager. It's the right decision. I'm a rookie. I've been struggling. Get me out on a good note. I agree with it. Nobody agrees with this stuff. When you're chasing history, let the kid get after it. And good on the Angels here, actually, because also, let's bring up two topics here. The Angels put up 12 runs in this game, so he didn't have to go into the eighth or ninth inning like Nestor Cortez, going, hey, guys, somebody want to help me out here with one run so I can actually get this no-hitter? But also, the simple fact that I do think, like when sometimes we talk about old-school baseball, disrespecting the game, the kid in the dugout's got a no-hitter going. He needs to get back on that mound here. And I'm not to say that you need to go up to the plate, you know, strike out or do whatever. But the fact of the matter is you put a utility guy in that ran a mockery of baseball yet again, where this kid's in the dugout, maybe has to wait an extra 5 or 10 minutes. Because if that was cool, that was, a certain Yankees pitcher, which is escaping my mind right now, shaking the ropes and sitting up top here. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, but the fact of the matter is that you did that in the bottom of the eighth inning. That's ridiculous, Kevin.
The radio audience is here on a Wednesday morning. Man, I thought you were just trying to, like, leave it soft like that. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside. We're talking Angels, Rays. Detmers throws the no-hitter. Now, that's an interesting kind of approach that they all sort of just kind of sat there and took pitches from Brett Phillips and moved on. I can't get down with it, though. Every single time he is thrown out there.
Rays fault.
Every time that Brett Phillips. I got you. Okay. I mean, every time Brett Phillips is out there, he needs to be taken deep. Now, there's two quick things. One, the Trout plays really well and gets worse MVP odds thing is now real. hit two home runs yesterday, longer odds to an MVP. Shohei somehow going even right better. Vlad Jr. going better. I don't know what's going on. Here's the second thing. Anthony Rendon went up there and hit lefty for the first time in his Major League Baseball career against Brett Phillips and took him deep. And yesterday I started firing off a tweet. What a tweet. What a job by me. Where I was saying, imagine if at the end of blowouts, right, in the NBA, they started going all-star game. Just full dunk contest mode. You know, they just completely clear out. Guys are trying 360s. And then I thought to myself, all right, well, I guess that'd actually be a little bit cool. Maybe that's not the worst idea of all time. But it's such a bizarre thing. This game counts. It matters. They send out Brett Phillips whenever they're getting blasted. This is the third time this season. And the Angels now are saying, okay, watch this. We'll go full all-star game here. And they send up Anthony Rendon to bat lefty. It's such a bizarre thing.
Only sport in the world, right? Where do you find this out in any other sport that they do this where you basically... And it's not making a mockery of the game. I don't want to use that term here because it is a blowout. But at the same time, it's not baseball. They don't do it in any other sport. You know, the punter doesn't throw passes in an NFL game in a blowout. It just doesn't happen here. And I don't know why it happens in baseball.
No, but the thing is I know you don't want to go that far. But if an NFL game, right, was up, the team was up 30 and they just started throwing lob passes for fun and they're laughing around and high-fiving, it'd be the biggest story ever. Or Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live here on the early line, talking some Major League Baseball. And I mentioned the Mike Trout oddity that is kind of him having another excellent game at the plate and then his MVP odds decreasing. Mike Trout is doing what Mike Trout does, a 3-for-4 day yesterday, two home runs. He's now got 9 home runs, tied for second most. He's got a .337 batting average, top OPS in the entire sport. He is off to a fantastic start to this season. Another guy, though, who is having an excellent start is Aaron Judge. League leading 10 home runs, a walk-off shot yesterday, the first walk-off home run of his career. A three-run, they were down by two, bottom of the ninth, blast from Aaron Judge makes it 6-5. Let me ask this to you, DRS, around Aaron Judge, who's now moved up 7-1, right? Kind of feels now maybe in the mix here for the MVP race. I know the Angels are great. I know the expectations around Toronto are supposed to be great. But just stick with me here. If the Yankees go out there and win 100-plus games, best record in the American League, can you see a world where Judge kind of bucks this trend where record doesn't matter as much in the conversation and he's such a superstar in New York, can really enter the fold here when we're talking league MVP?
Yeah, you got like the New York tax, right, which we talk about the New York Yankees typically in the past. Like, hey, they're supposed to be minus 140, but we got to raise them up to minus 155 because everybody's going to bet them. You'll get that bump from Aaron Judge because if you're looking at the way Major League Baseball is setting up, Kevin, home runs are down. Not really necessarily for Aaron Judge at this point here. So it's one of those where if he can get a lead in the home run race, and let's just say he can hit 50 home runs and the next closest guy finishes with like 42 and the Yankees are good and the Yankees win the AL East, you're going to get that bump there for Aaron Judge, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting MVP race to follow. Excited, really, to watch this play out. I'll make this one last point. There was so much good stuff that happened yesterday. The Orioles are piping hot, miserably had an over in a game where they scored a 5 and was not able to take it down. But it was a good day for the overs yesterday. As we get set to preview a Wednesday slate here, DRS, 10-6 for the overs. Weather changing, just a good day for offense. What was your takeaway from that?
Yeah, I think both of it's finally starting to come into it because just scanning down the forecast here, there's a game in Detroit today. It's going to be 76 degrees. There's a game in Atlanta. It's going to be 80 degrees. The Minnesota Twins at home, you might get some rain, but 80-degree temperatures here. How about this one in the heartland? Orioles, Cardinals, 80 8 degrees at first pitch. It just feels good to say that, Kevin.
Man, that sure does. Now, let's get over to today's slate. How about the fact that, man, why does the Yanks game start at 12:30 today? That is an oddity. But we're not going to go there right now. We're going to go to Brewers-Reds, mm-hmm. which has a similar start time. There's a lot of early games here on this Wednesday. Now, this is what you like to see, man. I mean, anytime Vladimir Gutierrez is out there, it's going to make the rundown because there might just be some money to be made. By the way, that game went over again yesterday. Another game that goes over for the Cincinnati Reds as they put forward 3 runs in the 9th inning. Talk to me, Donnie. Brewers, Reds, Gutierrez Day. What do you like?
Yeah, Gutierrez Day. I mean, let's just go down the all the number one hits, as we like to say here. How about your xFIP for Vladimir Gutierrez? 8.37. How about your K percentage? You usually want that to be up around 20%. It's a 12%. How about your walk rate? You know, 5 to 6% is doable here. How about 16% as a walk rate? So you say, wow, he's really struggling, but maybe he's getting outs and his defense is playing well behind him. How about Vladimir Gutierrez to left-handed batters this year, Kevin, which he's faced 56? 487 weighted on base percentage with a 442 ISO power number. Right-handed batters here to a right-handed pitcher, he's faced 51, Kevin. 390 as a weighted on base percentage. And, oh, how about this? An ISO power number of 128, so maybe holding some of those right-handed batters in the ballpark. But in this game also, in Cincinnati, game's going to start at 1235. We're almost around 80 degrees at first pitch here. So immediately, you would run to the table and say, the Milwaukee Brewers just might be on my timeline today to have a team total, and rightfully so. It's one of those games where you say to yourself, I'm just going to automatically take the Milwaukee Brewers team total, whatever the price might be, and if it doesn't hit, so be it. It's still Vladimir the Impaler Gutierrez.
It's just every time he rocks up, it jumps off of the page, right? Like yesterday, right?
Yep.
Man, it's just too easy. The Brewers team total cashed it. Right? If you bet it, you cashed it. Mm-hmm. I believe it was a flat four. Yeah. I mean, come on now. I mean, look, it's just, what are they doing today? Are they going 4.5 juiced? Let's see here. Let's pull this team total up to be exact. Oh, they went for a 5. At least they're making you pay for it today. They went for a 5.
Yeah, they are.
Man, that is expensive, though. That is expensive, the 5. Maybe a 4.5.
Not back in the day, it was. Yeah, it's like a 9. It's like a team total of a 9 in this 2022 season. So they're expecting runs out here.
I've been waiting to see a total for a game dip down to a 5. We've not been able to get there just yet. Let's talk about the Philadelphia Phillies. They're playing the Seattle Mariners once again. Now, Logan Gilbert is not a name that I am sure most of you are familiar with, but because Major League Baseball is what it is, he's basically the best pitcher in the sport, or at least look, he's up there. But his last start, he got hit a little bit, so maybe some regression for Logan Gilbert. The Phillies are a dog, though. Totals is 7. What are you seeing?
They should be a dog in this game, and this is the anger that I have quite frequently from the Philadelphia Phillies as an organization. They'll spend money. Yeah, they have a high payroll, but where they spend it is typically on bats, but they do things that really want to make me pull the hair out of my head. And case in point here being, in a doubleheader against the New York Mets recently here, they threw a bullpen game and said, just Mets, take the game. It's not anything that important to us here. Okay, well, the Mets threw out a legitimate starter. Now you get into this game, you say to yourself, okay, from a Philadelphia hitting perspective, can they hit Gilbert? Maybe, but he's been very good here in 2022. But that's not even a handicap in this game. It's the Philadelphia Phillies going, you know what? Let's not burn any really good arms in our minor league system. It's still early in the season. Let's just give this game away and throw Bailey Falter out here to start this game with his 6.70 xFIP number, striking out 9% of the batters he's faced, getting rocked by lefty and righties out here. And let's just see what happens. You know what's going to happen in this game, Phillies? You're going to lose. So whatever that money line price is here, where the Mariners sit at a minus 158, unless they solve Logan Gilbert, Falter is not going to do anything. A quote-unquote basic bullpen game again for the Phillies. It's amazing that you don't have arms that you could just bring up that are quality from an organization in a big city like the Philadelphia Phillies. I love it. They just take losses when other teams are like, hey, you know what? Let's throw a fifth starter out here, see what we can do. The Phillies go, you know what? Now hand up. We lost last night with Nola on the mound. We're going to throw this game away, but it's still early in the season. So apparently it doesn't matter for the Phillies.
Man, I mean, what were they thinking getting rid of Spencer Howard, man? Then they wouldn't have to do bullpen games.
He could Velasquez,
gave them
Howard,
a solid three. They could have gave him. He could have gave him a solid three. I just had to. I like to routinely check in on Spencer Howard. Actually, a little injury right now, so he's working his way. He's working his way back. Big Spence still looking for career W number two. Do we have enough time to sneak a game in? Rays Angels. How about this, Donnie? Yes, no. Will the Rays get a hit today? I mean, what are the expectations? Shohei's on the mound.
Yeah, this is one of those where you say, like, what are the odds on back-to-back shutout no-hitters here for the Angels? Because, quite frankly, it might be on deck. But having said that, you can get to Ohtani from the left-hand side. You have some switch hitters and lefties that the Rays are going to throw into the lineup. Is Donnie Wrightside out here going, hey, let's take the Rays team total again? Probably not, but typically, if you've gambled long enough, the team got no hit yesterday. They're going up against an ace today. You know what that means, Kevin. 6-1 win here for the Tampa Bay Rays is typically what happens where you lay off a day late and a dollar short, as they like to say. Mm-hmm. But I think Ohtani's going to be able to handle his business. And by the way, is that correct? Ohtani's a minus 120 today on the mound? Wow.
Yeah.
Talking about baiting people to get involved. Wow.
McClanahan's obviously been solid. I guess it is that bounce back theory maybe a little bit out there on Tampa Bay. It's interesting. Man, the Angels have won 11-3 and 12-0 with a no-hitter in the first two games of this series. Complete domination. We'll be right back. More Major League Baseball and NBA is coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's close out the MLB board, and then we will shift on over to the NBA. DRS, give me... Man, Watkins is out there. Boy, I want to go back to this Cardinals-Orioles game. How dare they yesterday take that from me? I got 5 from Baltimore, man. It is losing 8.5. It is what it is. Cardinals-Orioles, though, totals an 8. You lining this one up? What's the deal?
Here's the tough part, and this is why I'm going to break this down, which I can't wait until some, like, this give me a week of, like, good hitting in Major League Baseball to change up some of these statistics. So let's take a look at Watkins on the mound. He's brutal. A 6X FIP number, 10% strikeouts, which is horrendous. Walking over 10% of the batters he's faced, it's terrible. He dominates. He's a right-handed pitcher, Kevin. Absolutely dominates lefties. Faced 41 of those, a 0 ISO power number. So nobody doing much at the plate. But from the right side, he gets killed. A 426 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 313. And why that makes sense is Edmund will be a lefty today, Carlson will be a lefty today, and Donovan. So we're anticipating 3 of the 9 batters here to be lefties. So 6 of those guys are going to be batting from the right-hand side. Now, when you say, like, ooh, this sounds really good, and also couple in 88 degrees at first pitch here, this seems like one of those where you would ready to jump on. But here's what gives me a little bit of pause. If we're looking at weighted on base percentages from the St. Louis Cardinals lineup versus righties in 2022, first four guys, 359, 318, 391, and 560. 3 of those 4 guys elevated here, which is very good. After that, Kevin, starting with O'Neill in the 5-hole, 220, 276, 247, 311, and 132. And also, if we take a look at the power ISO numbers here, Arenado's a 200 versus righties, which is good. Yepes is only 17 times he's faced a right-handed pitcher. He's had a 313 ISO power number, which is incredible. The rest of the lineup, Kevin, all below average. So this is the crux of the argument that I keep running into here about a month into the season. 88 degrees, fantastic. Horrendous pitcher on the mound, which typically on a normal season, the St. Louis Cardinals hitters probably would line up versus a righty with 6 or 7 plus batters in the lineup. But if I'm only looking at 2 to 3 plus batters, you're taking that leap of faith, right? Like sooner or later, it's going to turn around. Yesterday, we had 10 overs, 6 unders. Nice weather finally coming into play. So you would want to play this, right, and get after it. But then again, when you take this and it turns out that the Cardinals end up with 4 runs or 3 runs, you say, well, what did you expect, Donnie? There's only 3 plus batters in a lineup of 9 guys, even though the pitcher is bad. I still think this has a legitimate chance to go over because some of the factors are starting to come into play as the weather, but this is why we're not just willy-nilly firing on team totals, because even on the outsets, it looks good, but the numbers actually don't say that this is going to be a great scoring game for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Man, so some stuff interesting there to find. There's a boost up right now, by the way.
What do we got?
Judge to hit a home run and the Yanks to win 6-1. Does he have some underlying excellent numbers there against Barrios? I mean, is the weather going to provide? I mean, the total 7.5.
tasty.
Yanks are favored there. Judge, Donnie, 6-1 and the Yanks win. Makes some sense.
It does make some sense here. Now, from a right-handed perspective, right, Aaron Judge, a right-handed batter, he's got a 260 weighted on base percentage, a 380 weighted on base percentage versus righties and a 260 ISO power number, which is great. Also, you like the fact of the matter is he's coming in hot, right? Last time he batted last night, what happened? A deep shot into the left field seats. Jose Berríos, if we take a look at him from the right-handed side, pitching against right-handed batters, 80 of those. A 324 weighted on base percentage, but only a 135 ISO power number. So Judge technically checks out. Berríos should be able to hold that down. But if you're looking at what's the weather conditions there? I'm going to assume that it's going to be around that 70-degree number. 66 at the first pitch with the wind blowing in. Not great conditions, but at a 6-1 price, it's not bad. It could be a little bit better, but definitely something to think about.
Yeah, just to add a little more context to that lifetime, 6-12 versus Berríos, 500 batting average, only one home run, but he's had some success there, so something certainly to take a look at. We'll make the move to the NBA. Let's start here. Boston right now, favorites to win the East, good gap between them and the Miami Heat to win the NBA championship, yet I don't feel as if then the series price matches up. They're minus 190 on a series price compared to Milwaukee's plus 160. As we head into game number 5 tonight with Boston and Milwaukee, right? Are you surprised where Boston is listed as still the favorites in the East, or maybe they're priced then kind of against Milwaukee here, or does this all make sense to you?
It doesn't make sense to me because now you're trying. We were trying to base off like where these odds are moving day to day, and they're very fluid. So if we were doing what's typically been happening here in the NBA, who's got the lead in the series? Who's a game behind? Who actually has the better chance technically just based on the series prices now to move forward? So I see the Boston Celtics. Oh, they got the lead in the series. No, they're not the lead in the series. You're going back to Boston here to try to take a lead in the series. You take a look at the Miami Heat. They're already up 3-2 in the series. So they have a closeout game coming up, and they sit at plus 165. And let's also remember, they're plus 165. They're the number one seed. They have home court in this round. If they get to the next round, Kevin, they have home court against the Boston Celtics. Have we seen how well the Miami Heat have played on their home court, and yet we're still going to have them as second in line here in the Eastern Conference? I don't agree with where the odds are coming up this morning on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, for me, I find the minus 190 series price is fine. They're minus 230 to win tonight, right? If they win that, then they're going to be pretty big favorites because Milwaukee would need to win the next two. But I do not agree with where they are in the futures market. If I am supposed to say, okay, fine, right, with Golden State, the way they sit in front of Phoenix, then you cannot justify to me where Boston sits in front of Miami. And that's just been the case for a while now. And here's the other thing. Because usually when there sometimes are, things that you disagree with in a market, right, the discrepancies, this doesn't make sense. You go, it's about where people are betting. But these are changing based on results, right? We know that. We can see that. And that's why there feels like maybe a bit of a gap in some logic. Boston-Milwaukee, game number 5. Boston is a 5.5-point favorite, 214.5 total. You and I talked about this yesterday because a part of the recap I felt in game 4 was acknowledging what they did here with this game number 5 line. That's been unchanging at 5.5. Feels like a Boston line, a confident Boston number here, right? Because if you're laying 5.5 with Boston, let's be honest, you think that means they got a good chance to win big tonight. Double digits, right? You're not saying, I like Boston to win by 6 or 7. I mean, that's a little bit ridiculous here. You see Boston minus the 5.5. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I think they're begging you to take the Milwaukee Bucks in this game. I really do. It's almost like in the last game where you talked about that Celtics plus one line going. That's a little disrespectful on the Milwaukee Bucks here, who could take command of the series, but basically getting no respect on their home court, which they just won a game against the Celtics on. Celtics have a monster fourth quarter. Take that momentum home down back to the TD Garden. And I see this number that says, please take the Milwaukee Bucks. The same way you take a look at some of those lines with the Phoenix Suns and say, hey, please take the Dallas Mavericks. I don't think that's the case tonight. So I'm going to say to myself, what makes the most sense? Giannis probably having a big night. is that secondary third or fourth options for the Milwaukee Bucks going to be there on their playing away as opposed to their home court? I look at this line right off the bat, Kevin. I want to take the Celtics. Like, you're right. This feels like a game similar to what we just saw in game fives last night. Returning home, Miami Heat, not playing great basketball in Philadelphia, smashed the Sixers by 35. The Phoenix Suns trying to work their way through some things here with Chris Paul and what's going on there, smash the Dallas Mavericks by 30 on their home court. Are we expecting, Kevin, a 30-point victory tonight for the Boston Celtics? Probably not. But it just seems like that avalanche might be headed in that right direction. And quite frankly, how about just taking maybe a first quarter or a first half here for the Celtics? If you think they're going to cover 6.5 or 7 points, probably going to be up double digits at the break and in full control. But I look for this as a Celtics game for me, Kevin.
Look, so the thing is, while I understand what the line is, I've just disagreed at some of the way kind of Boston has been discussed, and that's not really changed. I think when you look at, you know, the way people talk about this series, sometimes it comes down to where they're betting, maybe who they're a fan of. I saw some people say, Boston should be up 3-1. That's ridiculous. No, they shouldn't. The Boston Celtics won the fourth quarter by double digits in game number three and lost that game. Because Milwaukee was in complete control. And then once again, it was a double-digit blown lead by the Milwaukee Bucks in the fourth quarter. Now, that's a problem, but that's not a consistent way to live. Like, Milwaukee has looked like the better team to me in this series. That's been my takeaway, is that Milwaukee is the better team. And the real oddity of this series, it's so close, and I know it's ridiculous because it's a lot of road victories we're now kind of talking about, but it feels like basically nobody's going to win two in a row, and this just might keep going back and forth and back and forth. I think Milwaukee's got a good chance to win here tonight. I think I do think there's a legit chance that the 5.5 comes into play, right? Like, what number does this go to for you? Where you would shift your tone. 7.5? At that point, it'd be way too much, right? 7.5?
Exactly.
Right? But even a 6.5 would feel super strong. So I still think 5.5, I think it's a fine number. I think it's still a little bit too strong on Milwaukee. I think they can win this basketball game there. And I don't know if there's even an issue with trying to attack that Milwaukee money line at a plus 190. You're almost talking 2-1 there. That's a pretty good price, Donnie.
No, it is a pretty good price. And also, we like to play that game, right? We sit here at the FanDuel Sportsbook where Milwaukee is getting 5.5. What's more likely to happen, Kevin, before game time? We see a 6 or a 5. To be honest with you, you're probably more likely to see a 5 in my eyes than a 6 or higher. But if you do see a 6 or higher, something's up and the sharp money is moving towards the Celtics. Even though I think the Celtics will win, I still think this line might have a decent chance of closing at around 5 as opposed to the 6 for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you take a look, the first two games of this series was a 5 and then a 4. So for this to all of a sudden go to 6, 6.5, that would be surprising. We'll talk some player props, what to expect from Giannis, what to expect from Jason Tatum, and then we'll head over to Memphis and Golden State all coming up next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's talk some player props here. Jason Tatum coming off a 30-point performance. Giannis as well was up to 34. Giannis is at 31.5. Jason Tatum's at 28.5. Where are my manners? Superstar Al Horford, 14.5. What are you looking at tonight here in the props market between Boston and Milwaukee?
Like, I'm just looking at this series. Let's just go over Giannis's. Forget about even the assist, which I can't hold on. I can't even forget about the assist here. First game of the series, Kevin, 24, 13, and 12, or 24, 12, and 13, whatever. Second game, 28, 9, and 7, 42, 12, and 8, 34, 18, and 5. Amazing the type of numbers that Giannis is putting up right now at this point. So when I see his points prop listed at 31.5, I think there's a legitimate chance he does get over that. But quite frankly, if he's going to give you games over the first four games, Kevin, 12 assists, 7, 8, and 5, as if he's doing every single thing in his power to will his team to victory, Those are some of the ways that I like to look at. So if we try to take a look here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, sliding it over here to player combos, Giannis's points and assists is at 38.5, which makes some sense. But if you go for everything, the points, rebounds, and assists, 51.5. And quite frankly, it feels about right.
Yeah, it really does. He is in a groove. He can do it all, right? We know that to be so. Robert Williams' absence, I think, makes a difference. You know, Giannis last game grabbed 18 rebounds. We saw that was a boost for him. That number's 12.5 tonight. Thinks it makes sense. By the way, Jason Tatum filled in, grabbed 13 rebounds. His number's 6.5. It's a minus 134, but I think that makes some sense there. That's where I think maybe you see that Robert Williams absence, which we're anticipating again for tonight. Maybe that's a mistake. I would be careful, make sure that number comes in. But I think that is something that you need to take a look at here. I want to ask you about, you and I often have talked about kind of trusting workload and at some point kind of, right, you know, things will balance out, whatever it might be. Drew Holiday has now gone 20, 20, 30, and 22 in terms of attempts. In the series, he scored 25, 19, 25, yep, and 16. 21.5 is his points prop. If I'm getting 20 shots as a floor with probably landing closer to the mid-20 range there, is Drew Holiday a guy you line up on the road?
It might be. And sometimes, like, because we go back to, like, trying to analyze which guys are going to do what, right? And that's the crux of the argument. How do you handicap this game? Do you think they can score? The number one thing for myself is, what can I anticipate him doing? Because if you are a Major League Baseball player and you walk a lot, you say, oh, how am I going to hit a home run here? Because half the at-bats, I'm not swinging. I'm just trying to check things out. So if you bring it back to the basketball realm, if you're going to tell me I'm going to at least get 20 field goal attempts from a player and his points prop is around a 20, don't you have to take that every single time blind heading into it? Because you're figuring, okay, maybe around 9 field goal, you know, makes that he's going to have. You know he's going to get to the free throw line. He's a three-point shooter. So even in the past two games combined, he shot 16 three-point shots. They're going to go down. It's a good look that you find, because typically you'll hear me say you like those secondary, third and fourth options on your home court. But if a guy is still going to be able to take, the first two games in Boston, Kevin, 20 shot attempts and 20 shot attempts, 25 points and 19 points. That makes sense to me. So if I'm looking at that total here of, where's it coming in at? Points and assists is 28.5. Something like that would make sense. But if we're just looking at the points alone, 21.5 at a plus 100, which means there might be a chance that that gets to 20.5 at a little bit of a juice price here. I like that. So it's a good look by you. If you're going to give me field goal attempts where he shot 30 times already one game in the series, sign me up, man. Yeah. Sign me up.
Because, I mean, heavens forbid this guy actually has an efficient performance. He's going to score 30. And at some point he's got to play well, you would anticipate there. So Drew Holiday jumps off the page. Last point I'll make here, first postseason game that went over for the Milwaukee Bucks was last game, and all that took was 43 points from the Boston Celtics in the fourth quarter. It makes sense to come back in on an under. It really does. This series is really not even flirted with these totals there. Again, I know last game got there. It was an anomaly. That total live dipped under 200. So just to kind of give you a perspective as to what to anticipate there, I would be cautious looking to go back to double overs there in Boston and Milwaukee. All right, let's go to the West. Golden State is a 4-point favorite in Memphis. The total here, 218.5. I will start us off with this, and then you have to play the over. I think you have to play the over. Maybe you get fooled twice, maybe so. But Memphis scored 123 a game without Ja Morant over the last 10 games of the regular season, where that starting lineup was out there without Ja Morant. I know last game was bad. It was bad for Golden State as well. I think there's too much offensive talent out here, Donnie, for that to be the case. I understand that maybe the pace was slowed a little in Ja's absence, but this was a case of bad shooting for both basketball teams. 218.5. 5 points underneath where we were in game number 4 feels like you have to come back around and bet over here in Grizzlies Warriors.
It's probably a good one because you do have a lot of background. This was like, you know, John missed three games in the regular season. Here's what they scored. That's not the case. And also, you want to take a look at these games overall and say to yourself, well, they played a lot without John Morant in the regular season. They played a game without John Morant here in the playoffs. They looked fairly good and hanging out. Now, granted, you're not getting 10 points in this game, so you're going to have to be much more competitive and, quite frankly, win the game. Do I think that the Grizzlies can do that? A little bit on the edge. But when you're looking from a perspective of how the Grizzlies are going to win, maybe you got to push the tempo a little bit. Maybe you have to run it up. Maybe you have to use guys like Tyus Jones. And quite frankly, the reason we're bringing up Tyus Jones, which I think we had a pretty good focal point in the last game, saying, okay, who's going to step up in the absence of Ja Morant taking 30 shots in a game and playing close to 40 minutes? It's Tyus Jones, averaging, like the previous games, Kevin, 12 minutes, 20 minutes, 13 minutes. Then he steps up to 41 minutes. And you're talking about a guy that in this series alone, Kevin, look at his field goal attempts. 4 field goal attempts, 7 field goal attempts, 5 field goal attempts. Then he starts 18 field goal attempts, which he finished with 19 points and 6 rebounds along with 5 assists. His points prop listed in this game today at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a 14.5. Guys like that are who I would be focused in on. But it's an interesting thing to me because aren't we looking at the lines and saying to ourselves, no Ja Morant again, closeout situation. The Warriors have been there, done that at a -4. Sign me up there. What is your thoughts on this game overall? Because I know you're looking more at the total, but I got to tell you, it's begging me to say, let me just take the Warriors and live with it because there's no Ja Morant. But we've seen them all season long, talking about the Memphis Grizzlies, play well without Morant and quite frankly, play decent without him in the last game here.
Yeah, that's the tough part is you're trying to say, okay, they prove they can win without him or did they miss an opportunity? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the water you have to navigate. I would rather take the 4 again. It's a dog day to me. I'd rather have the points in both of these games. It's not to say, again, there's varying levels of convictions on sides, right? That's why it's so fantastic that you have the ability to line up so many different options. Yesterday, there was no doubt in my mind, Miami was the side, right? Here today, I prefer the points. I think I like the dogs in these games, but I understand you gonna thinking the other direction, thinking towards that Golden State side, because again, Golden State has a ceiling that could very well be tough for Memphis to match. And the thing too is they might be able to avalanche this Memphis team. It is disappointing to be out there without your guy, even if you were able to do it during the regular season in Ja Morant, who is not only your leader, not only the lifeblood of his basketball team. Gosh, averaging 38 a game in the series. I mean, he was the best player in the series through 3 games. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. So to lose that is obviously super, super difficult there and has put them in a tough spot. Here's what's also put them in a tough spot, Donnie. Dylan Brooks. I mean, this guy's been terrible in this series. 5 of 19 last game. Now, you try not to get too wrapped up in the Twitter sphere, but even the reporters, okay? This is not just kind of like, you know, avatars on Twitter, right? People that follow this sport unbelievably close, right? Pointed towards Dylan Brooks as the main reason that they lost that basketball game. Mike, he's at a 19.5 tonight. Can I go under on Dylan Brooks with the expectation that Taylor Jenkins is going to cut his minutes in half and basically say, I need to look elsewhere for help tonight? Dylan Brooks, ain't it?
He's done that before, which is a sign of a good coach, right? Hey, starting lineup, shake it up if it's not working. But also, is this going to be one of those where I have to ride this guy because this is my best option? If he gets going, we can win this basketball game. Because even though he didn't play well, still played 39 minutes, Kevin, shot 19 times from the floor, only came up with 12 points. But that's the interesting part of the crux of the argument, where you're trying to say to yourself, which way are the Memphis Grizzlies going to lean here? Because to me, I don't know if you just say, well, let me just cut into Dylan Brooks' minutes. That's going to help us out down the line. I almost think it's on a home court. Hey, we really need you, and we really need you to play well because, quite frankly, look at the past 3 games combined. He played 3 minutes, was thrown out, then didn't play, then came back and had a horrible game. So maybe he was a little bit more amped up coming back after those losses. Settle down in front of your home court. I'm more willing, Kevin, to actually back Dylan Brooks than fade him here, considering he's on his home court, got the game out of the way, closeout situation. I don't think coach is going to turn him away or deny him and say, hey, we only need you for 24 minutes tonight. I think he gets big minutes, and I think he probably plays well.
I'm worried about – the reason I'm worried about it is at some point you expect a guy to be able to get hot going back home. Could that happen for him? And also, I might cut Dylan Brooks' minutes, but unless Taylor Jenkins says, oh, I need to look at Zaire, I need to look at Melton, then it's a complete assumption game. A guy who makes sense tonight, though, Jaren Jackson Jr., it's plus money for over 2.5 threes. Again, we talk about attempt city here. 6 for 9, mm-hmm. 2 for 7, 4 for 8, 0 for 7 last game. Backing this guy off of 0 for 7 makes sense. The workload for him is increased due to the absence of Ja Morant. We talk about the main benefactors there. Jaren Jackson Jr. at 17.5 points, who was 7 of 21 last game. Hey, that's a workload, Donnie. That is a legitimate workload there all of a sudden for Jaren Jackson Jr. Now going back home, he really jumps out. Where else are you looking in the props market for this game tonight? Anybody on Golden State side maybe?
I got to tell you here, like it's one of those guys where you open up the season going, hey, I'm going to take this guy for an MVP. He's playing really well. He's dropping three-pointers left and right. Then sort of went cold during the regular season. But let's take a look at Steph Curry here, because quite frankly, after his game one performance against the Denver Nuggets where he scored 16 points, we go 34-27, 33-30, 24-27, 30-32. So he's back in the groove scoring, and you figure in a closeout game situation, he's not going to shy away. Because take a look at the three out of the last four games, Kevin. 20 shot attempts, 25, 14, and 25. And even the previous before that, routinely in the 20s. If I'm getting 25 field goal attempts out of Steph Curry, and you're going to put his points total in that, you know, mid to high 20s, that's somewhere we're going to look. And also, the things that we like in this series here versus Memphis, 12 three-point attempts, 11 three-point attempts, 8 and 14. If we're back to volume Steph Curry, where my leg and ankle are feeling good, maybe we should stop looking at secondary options and go, just ride Steph. We'll take Harry in this one. That's the way we might be looking tonight here, Kevin.
Yeah, it certainly could line up. By the way, Jordan Poole had his Jordan Poole had his first game under. He comes back tonight at a 19.5. But, Don, he was 20-plus in each of the first three games. So maybe a Jordan Poole look could jump out to people. And if you're looking to catch the bottom, Klay Thompson last game, 0 of 7 from 3, 6 of 20 from the floor. Klay Thompson's out there treating it like a regular season game with that workload. That was absolutely ridiculous, man. NBA games, super fun, super excited to watch these play out. By the way, Moneyline, Donnie and I, a lot of live baseball, so make sure you're there. But next, you listen up, closing out the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day right here for the early line, SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, Ed, and Kevin Walsh, as always here, carrying you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens. And the morning after, the NBA is on our mind. Home, sweet home. Listen up. You know me, you've heard the phrases many times in the NFL football season and betting throughout that campaign, home team or no team a lot of the times. And it's seemingly right now in the NBA, you are foolish for betting against home teams. Case in point, last night, you had two competitive series, at least we thought so far, 2-2. Rise up, Philadelphia 76ers, handle your business at home against the Miami Heat and send it back to a game 5. Same thing with the Dallas Mavericks. Down 0-2 before they hit their home court. Tie it up at 2-2 before heading back to play the Phoenix Suns. The Philadelphia 76ers, who I sat down and said, all right, let me enjoy a playoff game here on a Tuesday night and see what happens with my boys. Joel Embiid, James Harden, get after it. And yeah, they got after it to the tune of a 35-point loss. So then you shifted out west yesterday. And if you would have told me, hey, guys, Chris Paul is going to get 7 points in this game. Yeah, he'll get 10 assists. What do you think the final score is going to be? Whoa, Luka Doncic probably in this bad boy. Did they win? Yeah, they were close enough to stay within 30 points of the Phoenix Suns. So now we shift it back to some games today that should be competitive or what we're anticipating, right? You take a look at the Bucks and the Celtics. Are the Celtics just going to steamroll over this team? But also keep in mind, you did get a game win here out of the Bucks already in the TD Garden. Maybe it happens again tonight, but based on recency bias, probably not. Or how about the Grizzlies here? Maybe the anomaly of the night where we're expecting the Warriors to go onto a home court and take care of business away from the Grizzlies and close them out. Could it happen? Possibly so. But the one thing you do know, home court advantage, home field advantage, home ice advantage, it all matters in professional sports. Get those top seeds. This is why you play, so you can roll at home. Guys, make sure you stay tuned for Ben Stevens in the Morning Game. It's coming up right here on the Sports Grid Network.